The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences and does contain some explicit content. So if you are not an adult, please make sure your parents do not know you are listening to this and do not repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please remember to drink responsibly. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get to the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 223 of the podcast. Today is Monday, January 11th. Happy 2021, everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry whatever else we missed. It's been about 3 weeks off from the podcast. We haven't had much MMA going on, so Jeff and I felt like it was appropriate to be lazy and put off our 2020 award shows and copy everybody else's answers out there. In any case, today's January 11th. That means tomorrow is my daughter's third birthday. So a very happy birthday, Ariana, in case you ever decide to go back and listen to these podcasts for whatever reason. Daddy loves you very much. Looking forward to celebrating with you tomorrow. Yeah, man, a lot of crazy stuff has been going on. Before we get into anything, let me introduce my co-host all the way from Brisk, New Jersey, Jeff, the Animal Wilson. Jeff, it's good to talk to you in 2021, my friend. How you feeling?
Bill, I feel fantastic. I kind of figured out a strategy to get through this school year. A lot of teachers are moaning and groaning. Bill, my solution is just to pass everybody because they're not going to ask any questions. If I finagle the numbers enough, they're not going to ask any questions. You know, the key is to find that sweet spot where like, they're like, okay, this is that child's capability. So I expect him to do this well, but it's not so over the top that people are like, how do you do this well in your class? So I think I found that sweet spot. Bill, everybody's going to get an average of 77.
It's a take your C and see you later.
That's it. But Bill, before we keep going, happy birthday to Ariana. Unfortunately, I live up the Eastern Seaboard, so I can't be there. But very happy birthday. I kind of already got you your birthday present. It was combined with your Christmas present. Sorry, kid. That's just how these things work out.
she got gypped on the birthday lottery. It's like, because her birthday is so close to Christmas. but, I'm sure that'll change when she's older and she realizes it and she starts calling people out on it. But for now, we could still get away with it at 3 years old. But this kid is... she's three going on 33, Jeff. I mean, you've seen her recently. She's a little motor mouth. She's just like wise beyond her years. I never want to be one of these parents that like, my kid is so smart or my kid is more special than anyone else's kid, but fuck everybody else's kids. Like my kid.
Hey, Bill, that's totally fair. I mean, you should, I see that, all the time in teaching, which, sometimes people, I think they're giving their kid too much credit. But Bill, I think with Ariana, you're spot on. She's awesome. We were drawn together the day after Christmas. So that was nice for everybody who saw that on Instagram. She said, Jeff, you want to draw with me? And I said, sure.
Yeah. How do you say no?
Yeah,
that's my hardest part of being a girl dad is being able to say no. And I think that's going to be my downfall. Mark Fellows wishes us a happy new year from halfway across the world. Cheers, Mark. We just discovered that we're both fellow Ardbeg fans. I just picked up a bottle of Ardbeg 10-year single malt the other day, Jeff. It's nice. It's real smoky. I think you've had it before, but if you haven't, you would like it because it's a little bit lighter than the Lagavulin, but it's still got that real deep smokiness to it. But it drinks a little lighter. It's got like some crisp apples in there and like some nice lighter flavors that really brighten it up. But still has that like manly smokiness to it.
Okay, yeah, I can get into that. But Bill, I need a status report here because it's been hurricane season down by you. You know, we've had some down trees, some down power lines, some damage to the neighbor's house. But what's the status report as of right now, starting 2021?
Yeah, so I was stressing about getting rid of that tree stump that came down. That the neighbor's insurance company sent somebody to cut the tree down, but I was left with this giant oak stump, and I had to get it out of the way so I could put my fence back up. And I was stressing about it. I was going to rent a stump grinder and do it myself, but then it worked out to be so much money. It was going to be like $300 to rent it for the day. And then I don't have a truck, so I would have had it. I had to have it delivered, and they charged like another $200 to drop it off and pick it up. So, I wound up calling a local company, it's called Stumps and Roots. And, they came over, and the guy just came over to give me an estimate, and he had the grinder, on his truck, and he was like, "Oh, a stump this size, I could do it for $150, and I could do it right now." I was like, "Get that fucking thing off the truck!" And he brought it over. It was remote control, like a giant remote control car, but it's the size of a van. He drives it up my lawn, turns this thing on. It grinds through this oak stump like cutting through hot butter. And then it had a little backhoe on the back of it. He even filled in the hole and leveled it off for me.
Bill, that sounds like the best deal in town.
Yeah. And apparently Stumps and Roots is all they do. Cause I was like, "Do you guys trim palm trees?" And he's like, "Nope, Stumps and Roots. That's all we do." And he's like, "It used to be in the logo. But they took that out for some reason. Now the logo is just Stumps and Roots, but you know, that's their specialty. That's what they do. And they're good at it." But it was kind of cool. The guy, I was like, "Man, I got to get one of these things." And the guy was like, "Yeah, it's fun." So it's cool to see it, you know, when people enjoy what they do. Like the guy, he gets to play with a giant remote control car every day, so he's living a dream.
Yeah, Bill, I can't say I blame him. That sounds like a fun time.
But then on the other side of the yard, Jeff, a project that's near and dear to you, since you were there for phase one, we laid down the rest of the turf yesterday. So that was a pretty big project just because, you know, the turf roll is so heavy and cumbersome, and, you know, cutting it to fit around the trees. There's some trees in the way where I have Ariana's swing set. Shout out to my buddies, Matt and Jonathan, who came by to help out with that project. We had to find a replacement for you, Jeff. It wasn't the same, but, we got the job done nonetheless. And now, you know, the yard is pretty much completely turfed. I have a few small patches and some seams to work on. I got to put down some gravel around the fire pit. But, you know, it's coming along. 3 years in the house now. You know, you got to chip away at it a little bit at a time. And, you know, we make it work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I'm glad you were able to get a third guy in there. It's definitely at least a three-man job. You know, me... you know, I'd love to go down and see you, but right now is not the time to be in an airport with a whole bunch of people, you know, having to deal with, you know, the mess that we're in right now with, you know, a new version of the pandemic now coming out of England or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a good chance that a lot of those Brits came over here to the superior country to get out of it. So,
you would have thought they'd stay away after 1776, but, you know, gluttons for punishment they are.
Yeah, they didn't learn the first time.
Yeah, or maybe this is their payback. They're like, "Oh, we get this. We got round two coming your way." Yeah, man, it just goes to show that everybody who has this mentality like, "Oh, thank God 2020 is over. Now everything's going to get better." It's like not a week in. People are storming the Capitol building, like trying, like stealing podiums, or whatever other redneck nonsense they were getting into. You know, possibly have a new version of this virus going around. Yeah, everything's just as fucked up as it was in 2020. It's not like all the fucked up things look at the calendar and they're like, "Wait a second, it's a new year. We better pump the brakes a little." Like they all get together, have a big meeting.
Oh yeah, dude. That's like, oh man, for sure. I mean, my plan is just to save money and stay home. But that was my plan last year too, so more of the same.
I mean, you got to credit all the people who have, turned the pandemic and everything, all the crazy events of 2020 into positive things, started new businesses and, just being flexible instead of having like a big pity party for themselves. A lot of people were really hard up though. It was hard with a lot of businesses being closed. People had to get really creative, to save their livelihoods. So, enough about the negativity, Jeff. Let's celebrate some of the positive things from 2020, and let's get our awards show underway. So it feels like 2020 ended like a year ago already, but we're only 11 days into 2021, so I don't feel too guilty about giving out some awards. Better late than never, right? It's like that family member that sends you a birthday card a month late or something. It's like, oh, cool, $5. $5 is $5. We're not giving anybody $5, but that'd be nice. Maybe next year we gotta save up. Once you save up that money, Jeff, then we can give out $5 for the award.
Bill, I think you're asking a lot, but
You got a whole year to save, Jeff. You got like 355 days or 354 days.
yeah, but I don't need to start saving in like the beginning.
Save
I'll start
10 cents a day. We'll have enough to give out these awards for $5.
I'll start saving like in September or something.
All right, Jeff, I'll let you pick the first award that you want to give out here. We'll talk about the highlights of 2020.
All right, Bill, as much as the quarantine, stunk, I felt like we got so much great MMA, so many awesome fighters just stepping up, fighters that I would never think to watch, because I don't really keep up with the local circuit or anything like that. I just don't have time. The UFC has a gigantic roster. They have 500, 500 fighters. So, definitely hard to keep up with. But,
Maybe a little less now after all the cuts.
oh yeah, absolutely. I think we should start off with Fighter of the Year, just because we talked a little bit about that at the end of our last episode, which was a couple weeks ago. But for me, Bill, Fighter of the Year, I had to give it to Khamzat Chimaev. I thought he looked fantastic. He fought in two weight classes within like a week of each other, had three wins in his first three UFC fights, and he was just so dynamic. I felt like he was able to do everything. He won one of his fights with a knockout. The next fight, he was able to out-grapple his opponent. I think he won a decision in there. So I felt like he's really well-rounded. I still think he needs to be tested for sure. But man, I think he just had a great 2020. So for me, Fighter of the Year, I got to give it to Khamzat Chimaev.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue because it depends. You're the one giving the award, so you kind of make the criteria, and it's what stood out the most to you. And you can't deny the guy's star power. I mean, he was nobody at the beginning of the year, and now everybody knows his name. And he's got a hard name to pronounce, and everybody can pronounce it right. So that really speaks volumes about the guy. I definitely can't. I can't give you any reason to not pick him. Other than, like you said, he hasn't been tested. He hasn't been in there against the top competition. He would have been in there with Leon Edwards, and that's part of like, that's part of what sucked about this year is that we saw so many fights fall apart due to the virus. But I think if he went in there and beat Leon, beat a top three guy, that would put it over the top for me. But I went a different direction with it, and I'm gonna throw you a curveball as well, Jeff, and ask you to pick a female fighter of the year, because I know we didn't plan that out ahead of time, but I just came up with the idea, so we're going to do that too. But my male fighter of the year, I said it on the last episode. I don't know how many people remember, but for me, it's hands down Kevin Holland. He fought five times. went 5-0. He went from being unknown to, you know, really capitalizing on the whole pandemic, and, you know, not a lot of people were around to fight. So he just kept stepping up and stepping up and taking every opportunity. You know, he had the one fight that even he thought didn't go his way against Stewart, but he won the decision. Nonetheless, you know, I like the fact that he's hard on himself, and just the way that he finished the year, knocking out Jacare Souza, and the way he did it, knocking him off out from his back. And he showed that he wasn't afraid to go to the ground with Jacare as well. It really impressed me, Jeff. Like just the fact that he just kept getting in there and kept saying yes to every opportunity. He had an opportunity to grapple Rumble Johnson in Submission Underground. And Chael Sonnen called him and asked him if he would grapple with Rumble. And he was like, yes, absolutely, sign me up. But then the UFC stepped in on that one and said that they had other plans for him. So you just have to admire him as a competitor. And we've seen him grow as a fighter in this past year, too. I know a lot of people who were giving out Fighter of the Year, they went with champions and, you know, how the champions prove themselves. And I think there's definitely cases for guys like Adesanya and definitely Jan Blachowicz, who really impressed me this year. But, you know, both of those guys only fought twice, and that's not uncommon for championship level fighters. And they both look great. But, you know, if you're going to look at an overall body of work, I don't see how you can deny a guy who went 5-0 in 2020.
Yeah, dude, for sure. And yeah, you know, Kevin Holland's a great pick. I think definitely my second choice. But I just felt like, you know, Khamzat Chimaev, the fact that he fought in two weight classes, and I'm being, you know, factual about this. It was probably within a week, 2 weeks of each other, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to do that and just be so professional. And, you know, for me, it took the cake. But yeah, dude, Kevin Holland, he had a fantastic year, dude. And he brought the same energy to every fight, dude. He was on weight. At least to my knowledge, he was on weight for every fight. You know, he wasn't making excuses. Mm-hmm. You know, just really professional. I know the UFC loves guys like that. Bill, we as fans love fighters like that who are just willing to be like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, whatever. I'll be there. So, yeah, definitely huge shout out to Kevin Holland, man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then I'm going to go in a different direction and almost contradict myself and go with a champ for the female fighter of the year. My pick is going to be Valentina Shevchenko. She did only fight twice, but I just feel like the way that she deals with pressure, because at this point she's just expected to beat everybody. And I feel like that actually puts a lot more pressure than people realize. I think she was like 1,000-point favorite against Jennifer Maia in her last fight. And she has to get in there against a tough girl like Jennifer Maia. And the only reason she was 1,000-point favorite, one, because she's been so dominant, but two, because Jennifer Maia is like relatively unknown. I guess the odds makers weren't really familiar with her. And, you know, we saw Shevchenko deal with adversity in that fight. I believe she may have lost a round. And, you know, she came back and dealt with the adversity. She started off the year dominating Caitlin Chookagian. You know, Chookagian was proposed to be like the number one contender that could give her the most problems. And, man, Shevchenko just womanhandled her, getting her out of there in the third round. So, female fighter of the year, I'm going with Valentina. I feel like she just doesn't get enough credit. You know, and I think a big part of it is that, you know, people just expect her to win, but you have to realize the kind of pressure that puts on somebody. But she's somebody who is always in shape, is always training, traveling around, different training camps, you know, just a really admirable champion. So I wanted to give her that recognition, female fighter of the year, Valentina the Bullet Shevchenko. What do you got, Jeff?
Bill, I think Valentina's a great pick. It was almost my pick too, but then I remembered Angela Overkill Hill. Bill, Angela Hill, And I'm picking her because I myself have been very critical of her skill set at times. But Bill, this year, man, in 2020, she just completely changed my mind about her, dude. Able to show that she's well versed in grappling and striking. I think she got like one of her first finishes in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, or like one of her better finishes. But just, you know, and she, I feel like you could say the same for her that we said about Kevin Holland. You know, she was always game, always ready to get in that cage. I think she lost once, but, you know, I think she went, I want to say 4-1, maybe 5-1 in 2020. I don't even care that she lost, dude. The fact that she took five fights and, you know, some of them were, you know, were within weeks of each other as well. So, you know, for me, it's Angela Hill. I think she really made a statement in 2020 because I honestly, I'd never thought of her as UFC caliber. You know, I thought of her as a decent fighter, but there were times where I'd watch her fight and you know, I wouldn't think that maybe she's at that level. But in 2020, she completely changed my mind. I'm actually, I think I've become a fan of Angela Hill in 2020. You know, I'm definitely excited to see her fight now. And, you know, just that activity and showing that, you know, she's professional, she can make weight whenever she needs to, and show her skill set. You know, we saw her grapple and strike with some really tough fighters. So for me, female fighter of the year, Angela Overkill Hill.
Yeah, that's a great, that's a great pick, Jeff. I mean, you pretty much you took the logic that I used for my male fighter of the year pick and went with it. Yeah, for a while it seemed like she was fighting like every other week. So let's see, four fights in 2020. She went 2-2, but those two losses were super close decisions to Michelle Waterson and Claudia Gadelha.
Yeah, and they're some of the top girls in that division.
Yeah, so, and they were great fights. They were exciting fights. So she put on a good performance every time she went out there. She thought that she won those two fights. The Gadelha fight, a lot of people were on board with that. I thought Gadelha won two of those rounds, but, you know, it was super close. It wouldn't have been a robbery if it went the other way. Yeah, so great pick there. Let's see. Should we do fight of the year?
Yeah, let's get into fight of the year. Sounds good.
All right, kid. Let's I'll let you lead off this time.
So, Bill, for me, and I said this as soon as I watched this fight when we talked about it on the show the next day, for me, and my opinion never changed. For me, fight of the year was Billy Q versus Spike Carlisle. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't remember the card that this took place on, but it was an ESPN card, so you guys can go back and find it most likely. But, man, I just remember the energy and the pace of that fight, you know, from both Billy Q and Spike Carlisle. And there were times where, you know, I wasn't sure if Billy Q was going to get the win. There were times where I was like, oh, man, they might give it to Spike Carlisle. And just, you know, that feeling of uncertainty after both of these guys put on such a great fight, you know, super high pace. You know, it looked kind of like one of the early flyweight fights. Like that's the pace that they were keeping for three rounds, man. And for me, I was just so impressed with both of these guys that I had to give it to Billy Q and Spike Carlisle. For me, fight of the year. If you don't agree with me, go back and watch it. Maybe you won't think it's fight of the year after you watch it, but you'll definitely think it's one of your top five.
Yeah, for sure. And that was one of the ones that I kept bringing up in the conversation of fight of the year all year. Every time the topic came up, like as 2020 kind of progressed, it had everything. It had explosive scrambles. It had great striking. It was back and forth, everything you could want to see out of a great fight. And it also had that pivotal moment at the end of the first round when Spike got up. He was hitting Billy on the ground and got up and walked away with 10 seconds on the clock, and Billy came running after him and just clubbed him up on the side of the head with a completely legal strike. And nobody knows the reason why Spike decided to get up and walk away, because there was no bell or anything. He was just like, oh, I'm done with this round. And that was kind of the turning point where, you know, Billy was able to run away with the rest of the fight. But Yeah, so proud of him for that one. He had a great 2020, got his first loss in the UFC as well, but you know, he didn't look bad in it, and he had a great attitude after the fact. So I'm sure he's going to have a fantastic 2021 as well. My fight of the year, I almost didn't want to pick because I've heard so many other people give this the fight of the year, but every time I think about the best fights I saw, you know, there was Vicente Luque and Nico Price. That was a wild fight. So back and forth, those guys beat the piss out of each other. Dan Hooker and Paul Felder. That was an awesome fight, but I have to give it to the ladies on this one, Jeff. Wiley Zhang and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, you know, for the championship, they went the distance. I'm not a fan of five-round fights. I don't think there's any real reason for it. And mostly because the human body is not, you know, meant to do this for 30 straight minutes. But these women put on a pace that was just unreal. If anybody who thinks they're in like pretty good shape, like try just hitting a heavy bag as hard and fast as they were hitting each other for 5 minutes. And you know, tell me you're not winded and you could still stand up. You know, the ferocity that they fought with and the technical striking acumen. The only thing that I would have liked to see in that fight that I normally like to see in a fight of the year caliber fight is a little grappling, which we didn't get any of, but everything else, you know, it was back and forth. We saw clinch work. We saw cage work. We saw hematomas like crazy. You know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk's head after that fight was something like out of a horror movie. And yet she fought through it. I would imagine her vision had to be impaired from the hematomas on her head. Just the toughness of these women and the athleticism, the fact that they were able to push through 25 minutes at that pace. You know, I can't not credit it. And then obviously for recency, there was Figueiredo and Moreno. But you know, that fight was fantastic as well. It did end in a draw. So many great fights, Jeff. You know, Gaethje and Tony Ferguson. It was a great year of fights, and I think we should probably take this opportunity to give a shout out to Dana White for making it happen, because you know, he didn't listen to anybody who told him he shouldn't be doing it, and he put the safety of all the fighters first, and he figured out a way. He came up with a game plan. He rented an island in Abu Dhabi just to give us sports entertainment. And I know, you know, the guy is kind of a conflicting character, and a lot of people like to use him as the scapegoat for everything they don't like about MMA. But, you know, hate him or love him, you know, the guy is responsible for bringing us fights to watch in 2020. We wouldn't even be having this conversation if it wasn't for him. So shout out to Dana White, and a shout out to Fight of the Year, Wiley Zhang and Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the women's strawweight championship. Looking forward to seeing both of those ladies get back in there. Luckily, they both had a long time to recover.
Yeah, Bill, I agree with you 100% on the shout out to Dana White, man. Like you said, able to put this together and put the fighter's safety first, which for me is always a big thing. And, you know, able to keep us entertained during quarantine, man. I mean, those first couple of months, you know, they weren't playing soccer, they weren't playing football, they weren't doing, you know, the NBA got, got put on hold. They weren't playing rugby or cricket. You know, it was the UFC was where it was at. And I think, like you said, Bill, you know, it's a business that was able to change the game plan a little bit, flourish during this time. And really, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there are more UFC fans, you know, when we come back into the arenas and everything. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, one day somebody came up to you, maybe someone you train with or someone you see regularly, and just started asking you about, you know, some fighter that they enjoyed watching during quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I've actually, and I've enjoyed the no crowds. I don't typically put the volume on anyway, but you know, the crowds can be a little distracting. You got the people wooing and, you know, whatever other nonsense, and they're just like panning around. But then we got the distraction of like the new edition of the tweets popping up during the during the fights. So, you know, you can't really forget that there's people watching, but you know, it was kind of cool. It was interesting to see how different fighters were affected. I think a guy like Tony Ferguson maybe is someone who really feeds off of that crowd energy, and maybe he really needed that. You know, he's a guy who had a rough 2020 after coming off of such a huge win streak. And then you see other people who thrive in that environment, like a Kevin Holland, you know, like a Billy Q. You know, Billy has experience with that because he came off of the Contender Series and went through the Ultimate Fighter. So I did talk to him about that on the show. If you guys missed the interviews we've done with Billy Q in the past. With that, Jeff, why don't we skip to guest of the year on MMA on the Rocks? We had quite a few of them because you went on hiatus. I was scrambling to find co-hosts some weeks. I went solo other weeks. You know, it was an interesting year for the podcast as well. So I did have a lot of awesome guests. We had Dan Tom from MMA Junkie. He was awesome. Billy Quarantello, always a great guest, telling that story of grappling Rashad Evans drunk in the hotel hallway. But I'm going to go first here. My pick has got to be, fresh off of a victory in 2021, the Southpaw Outlaw, Serena De Jesus, who saved me one weekend when another guest fell through. And I texted her like 15 minutes before the show. And I said, hey, can you come on the show? You know, don't worry about it if you can't. And she's like, no, I'm there. Send me the link. And she came on and just crushed it. You know, she had watched every fight, of course, and she's always funny. You know, she's got some of the best one-liners we've ever heard on this show. If you've never had the pleasure of hearing Serena De Jesus on MMA on the Rocks, you can go to our YouTube channel and go to the highlights playlist, and there's some gems from her. But we always love having Serena on. She's always so full of energy, so full of life. I was really happy to see her get a win in 2021. So she's off to a good start. I know she's been working hard, training hard, leaning out. Guest of the year for 2020, Serena De Jesus is my pick. What do you got, kid?
Bill, I love the pick. Serena's awesome. You know, great friend of the show. And, you know, just a great fan of MMA too. Dude, she's kind of like us, where she's there for every fight. She's watching. But yeah, dude, I love the times that Serena's on the show. I think we could make just a highlight reel of Serena's one-liners. Dude, she's awesome. Really glad that I ended up reaching out to her one day, because she ended up commenting on a tweet that I posted.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, funny how the internet is sometimes a good thing.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. This is one of those rare examples. But anyway, Bill, for me, guest of the year, it was Billy Q. You know, for me, the first male fighter that I was with on the show at the same time, because, you know, at that point we'd had Serena on a bunch of times. Serena's always awesome. And, you know, Billy Q, it was just so cool to talk to him. And, you know, especially after, I think, that was after the Spike Carlisle fight. So I'd never talked to a fighter who's on the UFC roster. So for me, that was kind of surreal. I was like, oh, snap. Like, I just saw this guy on TV. so that was cool. And like hearing his story of grappling with Rashad Evans, and how he was kind of like, you know, having like a fanboy moment, you know, meeting one of his heroes, you know, for me, is just awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And just seeing that, you know, something that both Serena and Billy have in common is they're both MMA fans, you know, like when they're not on the card, they're, you know, watching the card. They have fighters that they like and they follow, which to me, you know, being a professional and seeing that considering that one day they'll probably end up fighting some of their favorite fighters, for me is just so cool. So, mm-hmm. you know, if my pick wasn't Billy Q, you know, Serena is a really close second.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I'm selective about having guests on the show, because I don't really like, I don't like interviews, because they're all the same. Like, well, what did you do to prepare for this fight? And what were you expecting? And did the fight go the way you planned? And how is the weight cut? And like all that shit. I like having people on where we can do a show together and feed off of each other and talk about other things, and get some good stories about their lives in the process. It's like, that's the way I like to do things, which is why I don't book a ton of interviews. And also you know how it goes, Jeff. Like some weeks I have no time. I'll text you, be like, hey, can you turn on in 5 minutes and get set up? I got a window of 45 minutes I can do the show. But yeah, I appreciate guests like Billy. He's a great guy. I say this every time we talk about him, one of the hardest working people I've ever encountered in this sport. And he brings such a great attitude to the gym every time. But yeah, man, that Rashad Evans story, if you guys haven't heard it, again, on the YouTube channel, that's on the highlights as well. I took just a clip of that episode, but definitely go back to listen to the whole episode with Billy. Go back to listen to every episode with Serena. Yeah, that story with Rashad Evans, he came out of the elevator and he's like, I had pockets of blue cheese in my pocket and I had to, so I took my jacket off and then he took his jacket off. And then next thing we're grappling in the hotel lobby. Awesome story. I'm not doing it justice. You got to listen to Billy tell it. But yeah, great pick. Should we do another MMA on the Rock style award or go back to the straight MMA stuff, Jeff?
Yeah, Bill, you know, you're the whiskey connoisseur. So Bill, if you had to pick just one whiskey to highlight 2020, which one would you pick?
I happen to have it right here with me, Jeff. And I wanted to bring this up because here's my criteria. It had to be a whiskey that I discovered for the first time in 2020. You know, I don't want to give you guys something that I've just been drinking for years and never talked about. And then, you know, a few other things played into it. This is a whiskey that I've recommended to other people and they loved it, because a lot of times, I'd say like 50% of what I hear from people who listen to the show is they're looking for like, hey, what should I be drinking? Like, I just drink like Jack Daniels right now, but I want to try some other things. And, you know, we kind of have to break down the flavor profiles. Like, what do you like about the Jack Daniels? Do you like that it's sweet? Do you like that it's strong? Do you want something smokier? Do you want something smoother? So kind of talking through people in that way, and then people live in all different parts. So a whiskey also has to be available everywhere. And a lot of good stuff isn't. You know, I like to talk about a lot of the Buffalo Trace and things like that. And it could be hard to find, you know, even if it's not incredibly expensive. And then affordability is another thing, because a lot of stuff is price gouged and everything like that. So all things considered, and obviously it's got to be good whiskey, all of those things considered, Bell Mead, straight bourbon whiskey, is my pick for whiskey of the year 2020. I encountered this probably halfway through the year while I was on a road trip. Somebody had recommended it to me, and I wish I remember who they were, because I'm always getting recommendations from people and I have a running list of things that I'm meaning to try. This is just like a really great bourbon. It's affordable, somewhere in the $40 range for a bottle, you know, which is a great price for a good bottle of bourbon. You don't want to pay, you know, over like $60 for bourbon, unless it's like a real special occasion or a special release or a barrel proof or something like that. So just real reliable, easy to find, and it tastes good. It's smooth. It's got that nice, subtle caramel that you come to love from bourbon. You see that nice caramel color. It's got the vanilla tones. It's got a little bit of oakiness to it. And I instantly liked this, and it came to mind with a lot of people who were asking for recommendations. My buddy Eddie Law, who was another great guest on the show. Unfortunately, the audio was messed up when he was on here, but for those of you who listened and were able to hear that properly, Eddie was another great guest. He was asking me for recommendations, and he loved this one. I brought it to a party or two that I went to this year, and it was always a hit. So Belle Meade pairs well with cigars, pairs well drinking neat, drinking on the rocks. I wouldn't put it in a cocktail because it's just not what I do with stuff I really like. I use the lesser stuff for that. But yeah, it's nice, Jeff. 45.2% alcohol, so 90.4 proof. Just a nice, smooth, easy drinking bourbon that's easy to find and it's affordable.
Nice, sounds good. I'm not sure if I tried that with you. I don't think so.
I'm gonna have. I don't think you have because I didn't have any the last time I saw you, and I think I encountered this like July, August of this year, something like that. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a staple in my bar. You can see I'm at the end of this bottle, and I was hanging on to it reluctantly to do this show because I didn't want to like rush out and get a new bottle, and I had to have a little sip of it while I was talking about it. So whiskey of the year, Belle Meade, straight bourbon. They also do a barrel proof, and I believe they do a sherry cask. I have not tried those. If you have tried those, please let me know how they are, because they're definitely on my shopping list. Yeah, man. So that's that. You want to get back into MMA stuff here?
Yeah, let's do it. What do we got next, Bill, in our categories here?
All right. I'll let you go first with this one, even though we both chose the same person, but I think this was a no-brainer, the knockout of the year.
Oh, yeah, Bill. I don't even have to think about this one, man. It was Joaquin Buckley's spinning backwards hurricane tornado kick. I think that's highlight of the year. I think that's everybody's pick for knockout of the year, man. It was something out of the Karate Kid movies. I loved it, man.
Yeah, it's my pick as well. It was just something so special. It's something that's like a once in a lifetime thing, especially, you know, being able to see it as it happened was just crazy, man. He caught it was against Impa Kasanganai, and Impa caught the kick and did everything he was supposed to do, had his hand glued to his face just like you should when you catch a kick, and Buckley just, you know, like a spinning foot tornado, just put him out cold, man. It was wild. It's something that's going to be on highlight reels for years to come. Probably for as long as this sport exists, you're going to be seeing that, especially if Joaquin Buckley, keeps performing like he is. He wound up getting a knockout win in his following fight. He's actually fighting next weekend. So yeah, definitely one of the breakout stars. And I believe he fought Kevin Holland earlier in 2020, unless I'm just making that up and getting confused. Oh yeah, he was TKO'd by Kevin Holland, which further justifies my fighter of the year pick. But you know, Joaquin Buckley, definitely somebody to keep an eye on after 2020. What else can you say, man? I mean, the other contenders for knockout of the year for me was Kevin Holland's knockout of Jacare, since he did it from his back. Jordan Levitt's slam knockout of Matt Wyman was just ridiculous. One of the most vicious KOs of the year for sure. And unorthodox. You don't see very many slam knockouts anymore. I'm sure there were others, but you have to give it to Buckley. I just, there were other great ones, but just nothing that unique. Awesome one there. Next we'll go into submission of the year. I had a couple of picks for this one. I was thinking Aljamain Sterling over Sandhagen, just because of the stakes in that fight and the fact that he was able to submit him within seconds. A high level guy like Sandhagen, and Aljo just went out there and just tapped him like nothing. But I wound up going with Mackenzie Dern and her knee bar finish over Hannah Cyphers. just because it's so unusual to see women even go for leg locks. This was actually the first leg lock in women's UFC history. So that was a big deal. That's something that could really alter the whole game. You know, Mackenzie Dern has shown that her striking has improved a little bit. But she's shown that she can kind of like suck these women into her world. You know, you heard several fighters say like, I wasn't going to go to the ground to her with her. And then, you know, they wind up on the ground with her and she's dangerous there, man. She's got a lot of tricks. So that's something that could change the landscape of women's MMA. If you start inserting leg locks, it's something that hasn't been there before. So because it was something new that was introduced, that's why I went with Mackenzie Dern and her knee bar submission over Hannah Cyphers. What do you got there, Kit?
All right, Bill. So I didn't want to do this, but it's a tie for me. I don't like ties. I don't like them in soccer. I don't like them in other sports. But for me, I have two picks for submission of the year. One is definitely Aljamain Sterling versus Corey Sandhagen, you know, really shaping out the title picture of the 135-pound division. And Aljo Sterling, you know, he's been on such a tear lately that for me, that was the exclamation point, was being able to submit someone with the skill set that Corey Sandhagen has. Because that fight, to me, was like if Aljo didn't win and Corey Sandhagen won, Corey Sandhagen would be next in line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, huge stakes on the line for that fight. And, you know, huge contender in Corey Sandhagen that he was able to take out. Someone who probably has a very similar skill set to Aljo Sterling. You know, they can knock you out. They can tap you out. So for me, it was that one. And then the other pick, and, you know, this is a tie, was for me, Davison Figueiredo versus Joseph Benavidez, because we've never seen Joseph Benavidez manhandled like that over two fights. And, you know, the first time, was that the first time they fought when he submitted him?
No, it was just the first time was when Figueiredo didn't make weight.
Yeah.
And he beat him. And then the second time was the submission.
Right. So, yeah, dude. So I think that Davison Figueiredo, coming off that last fight where he didn't make weight, you know, this time not only did he make weight, but I felt like he dominated Benavidez even worse than in the first fight. And, you know, I for me, submissions are something different because, you know, when you knock somebody out, they cannot physically keep fighting. But when you submit somebody, you know, they're basically saying, I don't want to continue. I do not want what you have to offer. I don't want any of it. Get me out of here. That's why I like submission so much. Mm-hmm. And to be able to just, you know, put out somebody as tough as Benavidez. You know, he's been in some wars with a whole bunch of, you know, a killer's row of flyweights. And, you know, I've never seen Mighty Mouse or Henry Cejudo. They were not able to do to him what Davison Figueiredo did to him in that second fight. So for me, you know, just the devastation of that submission, you know, I have to put it up there as sub of the year, along with Aljo versus Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah, man. Definitely a great pick. Great picks, and especially because that submission Figueiredo got was so vicious. It wasn't just a rear naked choke. It was like he mangled him. You know, he twisted his body all up and it like contorted his spine. It was brutal. So yeah, I like both of those picks. Not in the UFC, but another submission worth mentioning was AJ McKee. Just Google AJ McKee submission and it was like I don't know how to describe it. Just Google it and watch it. That was a good one. But yeah, great picks, Jeff. So last category, I'll let you lead with this one, and it's our rookie of the year.
Bill, for me, you know, I love Chimaev. I think he's an awesome fighter. For me, he was fighter of the year. The reason I didn't pick him for rookie of the year was because of Chaos Williams. Man, Chaos Williams was so exciting in his fights. I know things didn't work out for him in his last fight of 2020. I think he picked up a loss. But, you know, the energy that he brought and it, being able to go toe-to-toe with who was it that he knocked out? Hold on.
Al-Hassan?
Yes, Al-Hassan, you know, another tough fighter. Dude, I just felt like you got to give it to Chaos Williams. He was exciting. He was no nonsense when he was in there. I remember the stare down. You know, as he was walking in, he was just in there. You knew he was all business. So for me, it was Chaos Williams. Really impressed with him. So for me, rookie of the year.
Yeah, I like that you pick people who have losses because it shows that like their victories stood out to you so much that it doesn't even matter that they lost because they were so impressive. So I like that you went in that direction with it. I did go with Khamzat Chimaev. I didn't want to give him fighter of the year just because I feel like he didn't have the resume that Kevin Holland had and some other people had, but it's hard to deny the star power. The guy was very much unknown. He became the star of Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. You know, just staying out there fighting within twice in 3 weeks in two different weight classes. The guy's obviously a stud of a competitor. Going in there, moving up in weight and knocking out an experienced veteran like Gerald Meerschaert, making it look easy, was super impressive. And the fact that he got himself, I think it was a co-main event spot against Leon Edwards by the end of the year in his rookie year. I can only think of a handful of people who were faster rising stars in the UFC. And that's like Conor McGregor, Brock Lesnar, who was an instant star because he was famous before coming into the UFC, and Israel Adesanya, who's, you know, pretty much on the same track last year, just fighting so much and getting himself to that championship. Other than that, I can't think of people who have become like a household name so quickly. And like I said earlier, it's a difficult name to pronounce, but you don't hear anybody having a hard time with it, which really speaks volumes to what the guy's accomplished. So Khamzat Chimaev, my rookie of the year for 2020. That about puts a bow on the award categories we have here. Anything else you want to get off your chest about 2020 in the MMA world, Jeff?
I think that's about it. I thought it was a great year for MMA. A lot of fun stuff coming out of you know, the UFC. You know, it stinks that there were some fighters that got cut, unfortunately, but I think that what remains, Bill, is going to be fantastic heading into 2021. And, Bill, to start 2021, we have this fantastic card right off the bat this weekend.
Yeah, before we get into that, quick shout-out to our buddy Mark Fellows, who dubbed himself the 2020 Listener of the Year. I'm not going to argue with that pick, yeah. Jeff. Mark is here week after week. He's always got some funny one-liners in the comments and always been supportive of the show, always giving good drink recommendations. He's got great taste in scotch, I can tell you that much. And I'm always jealous of those Australian IPAs he's sipping on during the fights. So big shout out to Mark Fellows, all the way down under, who's always tuning into the show. I don't even know what time it is in Australia right now. It could be like 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know.
Yeah, dude. Mark, yeah, you're definitely Listener of the Year, man. You know, Mark's always with us along for the ride. And Mark, we appreciate it. So thank you very much for tuning in during, you know, hopefully we're able to keep you entertained for a little while during this whole pandemic business.
For sure. I've enjoyed doing the show. You know, we got to do a few extra episodes during the pandemic, and then, you know, you had some time off. I had to get a little bit creative as far as how to go you know, sometimes we get into a rhythm of just like doing the same thing every week. Like we talk about the fights and, you know, it kind of made me think about it in a different way. And we always get some great feedback from the listeners. Oh, I also have to give a shout out for, this happened in 2020. Our sponsor Team Reaper came along and started making us t-shirts, Over the Top Under the Influence, which you can get from reaper1.co. I'll also put the link in the show notes. You can get hoodies too. Now they have MMA gloves. They have jiu-jitsu gis, you know, tons of training gear, training bags. And then they have over 50 fighters now that they're working with, Jeff, from the local circuits all the way up to Bellator and beyond. So, you know, Team Reaper, who was just formed in 2020, maybe the end of 2019, local company from here in Tampa. They've just been killing it, Jeff, and I appreciate them, you know, making our merchandise for us and helping spread the word, and, you know, just a good company over there. And they really do right by the fighters that they sponsor as well. Like, all the fighters I've talked to that are sponsored by them, you know, love them, and they get so much support, and they're able to earn a little bit of extra money. You know, it's expensive to become a fighter. You know, you got coaches to pay, you got to pay for good food, keep your diet on point, everything like that, all while probably working a job. So big shout out to Team Reaper. All right, Jeff, let's get into 2021. We got some fights coming up finally next week. It feels like it's been forever since we've seen a fight card. Even though it's because we're so spoiled as fight fans. It's not like, you know, football's over, you got to wait another 15 months for the football season to start again or whatever it is. I don't even know. I don't watch football anymore, Jeff. That's how out of touch I am. I think it's 15 months in between seasons. They might have changed that though. In any case, you and I just discovered that this fight card is on ABC, UFC on ABC 1. So let's make this a little more confusing and with the hashtags and everything, but I had no idea this deal was signed. I don't know what's going on with ESPN. You guys should know by now not to come here for news. We're just reacting to things as we find them out. But, man, what a main event here, Jeff. This fight flew under the radar, 'cause I think a lot of people, ourselves included, were thinking like, oh, McGregor Poirier is the next big card. No, Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar, on Fight Island is the next big fight. Man, what a featherweight matchup this is. Calvin Kattar just on such a hot streak. Max Holloway looking to prove that he can still hang at the top of this division, coming off of the two losses to Volkanovski. You know, one of the most dominant champions in the history of the division, you know, manhandled Jose Aldo twice. Not a lot of people can say that. I don't think anybody can say that except Max Holloway. This is going to be a big one, man, because this is going to be like, can he still hang at featherweight, or is Calvin Kattar going to emerge as the next big thing and probably challenge for the title if he wins? Give me your thoughts on this main event.
Bill, this is going to be a really exciting fight, man. Max Holloway, you know, very well-rounded. But, dude, Calvin Kattar, definitely well-rounded as well. And Calvin Kattar, man, he puts pressure on you, man. He moves forward. He's not one of these guys who's going to be, you know, afraid of what Max Holloway has to offer. So this is going to be a really good fight, man. I'm really excited for this one. And, you know, I actually forgot that there was a fight card this weekend because, you know, it's been a few weeks. But, dude, I'm super excited, dude. That main event alone, that's one of those main events where if you just had that fight, people would pay money to watch it. Like, even if you didn't have a rest of the card, people would pay to watch this fight.
Yeah, for sure. The big X factor here is going to be Calvin Kattar going five rounds for the first time in his first main event. Obviously, Max Holloway has been there, done that, you know, half a dozen times, fought in five round fights. The reason I wouldn't worry about it is because of the fight with Zabit Magomedsharipov, in which Kattar probably lost the first two rounds, but that third round, he was just chasing Zabit around. Like, he wanted to pressure him, and Zabit straight up ran from him for that entire third round. So that makes me feel like he'll be okay in a five-round fight. But a five-round fight with Max Holloway is no ordinary five-round fight. Holloway is a master of weaponizing pace. This is going to be a question of, like, who breaks first, if anybody. And those are always the best kinds of fights to put on. I would be really surprised if this one went to the ground. But then again, nothing surprises me in MMA anymore. Cater has, like, so... his hands are so fast, but Holloway is really good at controlling range and pressuring with those long arms. So we'll see, man. It's going to come down to, like, who wants it more, basically. Excuse me. Holloway had that short stint at lightweight against Dustin Poirier, went the distance with him. I would still like to see him move up to lightweight eventually. I think he can do well there, but I think he still has a little bit of a run left at featherweight. Co-main event. This is like a dream fight from 7 years ago that we never got. Carlos Condit
too.
Carlos Condit and Matt Brown. This is fun though, Jeff. You know, Condit's coming off his first win in a while. Matt Brown, has been looking good. Retired, I think, a handful of times. But it's like every time I get out, they pull me back in. He was going to retire after he KO'd Diego Sanchez with that nasty elbow. And then he was going to retire after he KO'd Ben Saunders with elbows. And then he was like, I got to get one more. And he had the loss to Miguel Baeza. So now I guess he's thinking at 40 years old, he wants to go out on a win. And who better than someone like Carlos Condit, who, you know, has also retired a handful of times, and went through a rough streak, but looked good in his last fight against Court McGee. As rough as their records look in their past, few fights, I'm excited for this co-main event, Jeff. I mean, you have to be. These are two warriors here.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'd be more excited if it were 2013 and you had this as a co-main event, like you said. But yeah, dude, I'm excited. You know, I'm a huge Carlos Condit fan. Always will be. I think he's so well-rounded. He's so technical. I love that. And dude, Matt Brown is just a juggernaut at 170, man. You know, always game, always ready to fight anybody. And I feel like he's definitely added some more grappling to his fighting set. So I feel like that is definitely helpful. I feel like we saw a little bit more of that recently. But yeah, dude, this is going to be a good fight. I'm definitely excited for it. I mean, as much as, you know, Carlos Condit, things haven't gone his way in his last, like, 12 fights. But I'll always be a fan of his, man. I'm always going to be ready to watch him fight.
Yeah, for sure. I remember when Carlos Condit came up in the WBC, and the guy was wild. It was like nothing you've ever seen before. You know, he would throw all these crazy strikes because he didn't care about being taken down because he was nasty off of his back. There was really nobody like him, like a lanky dude that was just a killer. He could knock you out. He could submit you off of his back. And I got to highlight this comment here from Mark Fellows that Matt Brown was his favorite fighter back in the 80s. It's funny. Then we got Santiago Ponzinibbio and Jingliang Li. This is my sleeper fight pick of the card because I feel like this one's really flying under the radar. I'm really excited to see Ponzinibbio get back in there. It's been over 2 years since he's fought, which is crazy because he knocked out Neil Magny in November of 2018. Before that, he beat Mike Perry. Before that, he knocked out Gunnar Nelson. Before he beat Nordine Talib. The guy was just on such a hot streak, and then he just disappeared. I don't know if it was injuries or, like, I think he had a hard time getting fights for a while. And then Lee is an up-and-coming contender who's also been on a hot streak. He's coming off of a loss to Neil Magny, but You know, before that, he put together a nice string of wins. This is an interesting fight, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. Bill, I'm a big fan of Santiago Ponzinibbio. You know, he's a Latino fighter who, you know, draws a lot of attention. I think, you know, I think he's, you know, one of these really popular fighters. And unfortunately, you know, we had the 2-year break, which actually when I saw this, I was actually thinking that, you know, Santiago Ponzinibbio is a fighter I've not heard from in a while. Mm-hmm. But Bill, you know, this is not the way you want to come back to the UFC after 2 years, dude. Li Jingliang is a tough dude at welterweight, man. I think one of the only reasons he didn't beat Neil Magny is because Neil Magny is like a middleweight who fights at welterweight. But, dude, Li Jingliang, tough dude. You know, he can take a punch and he is going to move forward, man. He's got a very aggressive style. He's not going to take one step back. No matter how hard Santiago Ponzinibbio hits him, he's not going to back down. So mm-hmm. this fight is going to be really good. Bill, I think this is a great pick for a sleeper fight, man. This one, potential for fight of the night. So definitely agree with you on the sleeper pick.
Yeah, two very technical fighters, too. Very technical strikers. So you're going to see some cool stuff. Be very surprised if this one goes to the ground as well. Watch, like, every fight is going to go to the ground just to prove me wrong. Everybody's listening to this. We're like, all right, we're going to fucking wrestle just to make Bill look like an asshole. Joaquin Buckley, who we mentioned earlier, getting in there against Alessio Di Chirico. Di Chirico, an Italian fighter on a 3-fight losing streak. So I'm no conspiracy theorist, Jeff, but you got to think he's being set up for another highlight reel knockout by Joaquin Buckley. But don't sleep on Di Chirico either, because he's got that nasty flying knee KO, I think it was, over Aluwale Bangbose a couple of years ago. He's had a rough go of it since then, but you know, this is definitely a guy. He's got experience. He's got knockout power. He's got a lot of knockouts earlier in his career. But yeah, if you're looking at this one on paper, you got to be like, a little bit of a lamb being led to slaughter here. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, we might have an old Yeller situation here, Bill, where they're taking him out back.
And
you're just going to hear a loud boom at the end.
Yeah, Dana White's like, we're cutting 60 fighters by the end of the year, but this guy with 3 losses in a row, we're going to keep you around. You're going to be fighting Joaquin Buckley. I'm sure you've heard of him. Knockout of the year.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's how that's going to go. Then we got 2 undefeated fighters, Jeff. Punahele Soriano and Dusko Todorovic. I don't know anything about either of these gentlemen, but Soriano 7-0, Todorovic 10-0. So I'm intrigued right there. I always like these fights where somebody has to lose their 0. So I'll take a look here. Soriano 7-0, 4 wins by knockout, 2 submissions, 1 decision win. His last fight was his UFC debut. He KO'd Oscar Pichota. He did come off of Dana White's contender series. And Todorovic, let's take a look here. These guys are 185 pounders, by the way. 10-0, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions, 1 decision. So they seem equally well rounded. I remember this guy now. He's from Serbia. His last fight was also his UFC debut, knocked out Daquan Townsend in the 2nd round. And he also came from Dana White's contender series, fought Michel Pereira before coming to the UFC and knocked him out in the 1st round. So this is an interesting matchup here, Jeff.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I didn't know too much about these guys going into this, but now I'm definitely intrigued. And I like that this is going to open the main card. At least that's what it looks like from the Wikipedia page that I'm on. But yeah, dude, you know, those are awesome fights when somebody's O has got to leave. Mm-hmm. So should be a very good, should be a really good
he's
fight.
He's always got to leave.
You know, it started off okay in my head and then I forgot.
That's okay, Jeff. It's late on a Monday night. It's almost 11 o'clock here. We're going to wrap this up soon. Another one I want to point out, Omari Akhmedov and Tom Breeze should be a good fight. And then we got two guys I believe are heavyweights, Carlos Felipe and Justin Taffa. Justin Taffa, exciting guy, but you got to wonder with all these cuts and everything, this guy is 4-1. So like five fights seems like not a lot to be in the UFC, but he's got all four wins are by first or second round knockout. And his only loss is a first round knockout to Jorgen De Castro. So this is a guy that gets in there and goes for broke. 6 feet tall, 265 pounds, right at the limit. So this should be a fun heavyweight fight between two guys not very experienced. And Felipe is only 9-1 as well. So give me your thoughts, Jeff.
Yeah, dude, this one should definitely be interesting. I'm wondering if Justin Taffa was in one of these situations where he kind of had to go into the UFC because he wasn't getting fights on like the local circuit. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen a lot of flops happen that way. You know, I'm certainly hoping this is not the case here, but either way, man, it should be exciting. You know, those heavyweights, they bring it. And Justin Taffa sounds like, you know, one of those heavyweights who's going to definitely leave us entertained.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Anything else jumping off the page to you on this card here, Jeff?
Not too much. I'm not too familiar with some of the fighters on the preliminary card here. But, man, I'm excited for this whole card. The main card looks awesome. And, you know, it's been a few weeks, so I think I'm just going to chill out at home and use this as an excuse to socially distance from everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of these fighters on the undercard, even though they're not as well known, they have a great opportunity here because people are really looking forward to having the fights back. You know, I've been hearing the outcries on social media of like, oh, another week without fights. What am I going to do? So there's going to be a lot of eyeballs from the hardcore fan base on this preliminary card because, you know, they're so excited to have fights back again. So big opportunities here. You know, maybe we'll have the 2021 Rookie of the Year emerge from this card. I don't know. I plan to keep better track this year, Jeff, so we could do a more organized award show. I say that now, but, you know, probably won't work out that way. And in any case, I like to finish what I start, Jeff, so I'm going to polish off this bottle of Bell Mead here, which was the MMA on the Rocks pick for the Whiskey of the Year 2020. So if you see it sitting on the shelves at your local liquor store for around $40, pick up a bottle, tell them Bill Welker sent you. It won't give you a discount or anything. They'll just ask who the fuck Bill Welker is. You know, if you like it, great. I'm glad. If you don't like it, you can mail it to me. I'll set up a P.O. box. So you can send it to me and I'll gladly punish myself and drink it for you. Man, that's it. A little bit longer of an episode than usual, but you know, we've been on a hiatus here for the holidays and general laziness and just scheduling. And I've been working on my yard and traveling and everything else. So kind of put the podcast on the back burner, but it feels good to be back. Get the first show under our belts for 2021. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming back next Sunday to recap UFC on ABC1. If you guys want to get a hold of Jeff, it's at @animal_Wilson on Twitter and Instagram. You guys know how to get a hold of me. It's at MMA on the Rocks everywhere on social media. You can go to our website, MMAontherocks.com. You can send me an email, mayontherocks@gmail.com. I try to respond to everything. So please do reach out. If I don't respond, then reach out more than once. And, you know, you'll get me. I'm not hard to get a hold of. One more shout out to our sponsor, Team Reaper. You can get your MMA on the Rocks t-shirts and hoodies through them, or you can get some MMA gear, gis, sparring gloves, all that good stuff. You can sponsor local fighters, great local company. So please do support them if you have the means. And that's it. That's all we got for this week. Until next time, happy 2021. Cheers, everybody. Goodbye.